With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It is Thursday, April 28th, and we are here answering your financial questions, trying to take the mystery out of the things that confound you. And sometimes these financial matters, they're not actually so mysterious, but you need a little help. You need a little coaching. And Mark and I are both certified financial planners, and we're happy to play that role. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, and we'll get your note. Don't forget to let us know if you're willing to come on the program. There's a little box you can check. That is what Ryan did. Ryan's on the line from the middle of the country in Wisconsin. Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the program. What can we do for you today?
Well, I have a question. I've been saving up for retirement quite a bit. My wife and I are in our mid-30s, but I'm coming to the point of trying to figure out that balance of saving up for retirement, but also saving for our children's college funds. And I'm hoping you guys can give us a little guidance on kind of that delicate balance, because I want to be able to retire it someday, but I'd also like to support our children as much as we can for their college.
How old are your kids?
We have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and another one on the way. So lots of college.
Oh, my God. So when we look forward and you think about college, are you thinking, hey, I've got 4 kids, public college, or are you thinking private? What's on your mind with this?
I'm certainly hoping public.
Yeah, praying more like. Okay, so let's think about public. Okay, have you started doing anything for them? Do you have a 529 plan for any of them?
I do. I have 529s for all 3 that are here, not just obviously for the one on the way because we don't have a social security number yet, but I do have 529s for the 6-year-old, 4-year-old, and 2-year-old.
How much money in there? Total.
Our 6-year-old currently has about $63,000 in his. Our 4-year-old has about $29,000 in his, and our 2-year-old is at about $15,000.
Okay, so you guys both work, or one of you home with the kids?
We both work.
How much do you earn together?
Our range of income is—it's kind of a wide range, just based on bonuses and things like that. But it's anywhere from probably $350,000 to about $500,000 to $550,000.
Wait a minute. Why is it so, like, what can I count on? What am I really looking at here? What should I say? Like, for sure, you're going to make like 400 grand a year. Like, what's the number?
Sure, for sure. You could count on 400 grand a year.
Okay. Okay. That's a lot of money in Wisconsin. No, I hate to be all New York-y on you, but that seems like a lot of money. You're living in a lower cost of living area, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I would say it's a lot of money. We live very comfortably.
Yeah, Ryan and his wife, they're like, oh, the rich people with 3 kids, 1 on the way. Okay, so how much money have you saved for retirement so far in your mid-30s?
Well, right now we have in our 401ks, we have about $570,000. Our Roth IRAs, we have about $200,000. Then this year, we've started to save a brokerage account. So that's up to about $80,000 right now.
Do you have an emergency reserve fund as well?
Yeah, we have about $55,000 in cash. I also have, when the I-bonds came out with really good returns of about 7% last year, we do have now about $40,000 in I-bonds, although we can't access them for the emergency return until the end of this year. My goal is to maybe, depending on what the return is on those, to eventually have those as part of my emergency fund as well.
Tell us about your house. Well, how much would you say your house is worth?
Our house is probably worth just a little over $1 million, and our mortgage on the house is about $460,000.
Boy, $1 million house in Wisconsin. I'd love to see this house.
I know. What does $1 million in Wisconsin buy you? Let's kind of give us a little jealousy moment here, because I feel like it's going to be some monster. But so what is it?
Well, it's not necessarily the square footage, it's the location. We're located on some a beautiful lake out here in Wisconsin, and that the limited property that you can have on the lake is what really brings up the value. And also, the current market has brought up the value quite a bit, because there's almost no homes available around us that are on the lake. So that's where it's at.
I see. Okay. What's the mortgage rate?
2.625.
Oh, my God. And it's a 30?
Yep.
Are you guys contributing to regular traditional 401ks right now, or are you using Roth versions?
Traditional 401k at this point. Okay. We're both maxing out our 401ks. And what we've been doing is the traditional, just because I believe at this point our marginal tax rate will be higher now than what it will be in retirement. But I know you guys do love Roth 401ks, so you could persuade me the other way.
How about life insurance?
Yes, we do have life insurance. I knew I wanted to make sure that was definitely in place before we came on the show. But I have a 30-year million plan, a 20-year million plan, and my wife has another 30-year million plan.
Do you have like sort of a split of income, or is it more tilted? Are you more earning more than your wife at this point?
Yeah, it's more tilted toward me, which is why we tilted the life insurance the way we did.
All right. She probably could use a little bit more, because, you know, my theory is that even if the one who doesn't make as much happens to pass away, unfortunately, it's just like there's the care issue. And that's a 4 kids is a lot. And so she might need a little bit more. Can she buy some more through work?
She can. Yeah, we should. Yeah. I can look at that. This current one is outside of work, so we could up it with her work plan.
Yeah, maybe do that. Let's at least take a look at it. How about the estate documents? Are those in place?
Yes, they are. We'll probably update them again once the new baby comes. But then I think four is probably the limit. I don't think we'll be adding any more 529 plans on here eventually. So I think once the new baby comes, we'll update and have our estate documents finalized.
So what else do you think that we need to know about before we start thinking how to allocate money between retirement and college? Anything, any other issues that are cropping up?
No other real issues. We just did kind of a renovation on the house. So most of the money that we have for any others, like other projects or anything like that on the side is already been taken care of. So it's more just getting now that we've done that and have kind of our dream home, which we've saved up for in the past, to the state of, okay, now when we have extra money, how do we want to basically stock it away and figure out everything for college?
So it's interesting at this point, when you look at the cash flow, you both max out your 401ks. And then do you put a certain amount every month away into the 529s or the brokerage? Or is that just happening when a bonus comes? Like, how are you managing the cash flow?
That's happening more when a bonus comes. I do look at the 529s. My plan right now for the 529s is about $500 a month. But because of the cash flow being a little bit, it's more based on quarterly bonuses. It's not always done right at the month. I just manually do it myself.
So it's $2,000 a month total. Okay. And then what about the brokerage? Also sort of like whatever's left over, kind of?
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever's left over.
So tell me about the brokerage account, though. Should we use some of that money and just like pop that into the 529 plans? Do you want to get a jump on it, or are you okay kind of going as you're going?
Well, that's kind of my question for you guys on whether I should try to front load a lot of these 529s, and then how much do I front load them versus...
That's what I'm thinking.
Just going slowly here, because I mean, I'm open to either suggestion. I mean, the estimate for an in-state college in the Wisconsin area, by the time I think our six-year-old is 18, should be about $250,000 is what my guess is. So I think that's kind of our end goal. But how do I get to that goal is my main question on here.
Here's what I'm thinking. Mark, what do you think about this? I'm thinking that for right now, just because, you know, they're going to have the baby, there's going to be expenses and stuff like that. I'm thinking right now, it would be kind of fantastic to take some of that brokerage account money and pop it in the 529 plans. Because, frankly, the 529 plan is a more efficient way to invest than a brokerage account. I know you have more flexibility with a brokerage account, but you'll have cash flow. I mean, even if you just did $16,000 per kid, that would kind of bring you to like, all right, we're done for this year. Maybe we should do that. Because it just so happens that that $80,000 kind of is like a beautiful, perfect amount that we get to. I'm thinking that you do 16 per kid for this year. And then, you know, the quarterly bonuses you can use to, you know, I think fund in the future, but you can also just have a little bit of extra cash on hand. I think I would rather do it as a lump sum as much as I could. I mean, I don't want to go crazy either, right? So if you're sort of on track to put away $500 a month per kid or $6,000, essentially we're saying like, let's just do the next 2 years in advance. And then let's see where things stand. And you'll keep socking away money for retirement. You're going to be fine for retirement. And then you've got a few years. It's like, all right, I got some money in here. It's working for you. And then we see where you go. I mean, it's just, I think that it's so variable because your income's kind of variable. I would prefer to front load it because, again, the 529 plan is essentially a Roth for college, or not even college, because it's also for high school if you do private high school. But it's a Roth kind of treatment tax-wise. So why not use it for that? And you make a lot of money. You don't live a big, huge life. You got a big house, but you know, it doesn't seem like you have a huge life. You got four mouths to feed, or you will have four, three and some. And so I think that that would be kind of my game plan going forward. At what point, Mark, do they kind of stop with the 529 when they have how much in there? Like if they could get in, let's say, I mean, for the six-year-old, if they had 100 grand in for the six-year-old in like 3 years from now, they could stop, right?
I still think he has to go beyond age nine, because if he stops at age nine, he's coming in under 200.
All right. So either we have to do one of two things. So we either have to put more in the six-year-olds to kind of front load it. So now what you're saying to me, Mark, is he needs more like $125 in there, right?
If it's 130, by the time that kid's 18, it'll be about 220.
All right. So I think we shoot for 130 in the six-year-old's account by the time he's 10 years old. And that's like super doable because it's just, you know, if you did 16 this year and 16, like you'll get there pretty quickly, right? And you'll be able to do that with each of the kids, and any unused money can roll down to the other kids, right? And by the way, you have huge cash flow. So, you know, you will actually be able to help during college also. There's like a really interesting theory, which would be, don't touch any of the 529 money at all, if possible, in the beginning, and just let it keep building, building, building without any tax liability. So, you know, you won't have to put as much money in down the line. The money will already be saved, but maybe you say, hey, I'm going to pay for the first semester and then we'll start using it. But I think you're going to be fine. I really do.
And Kyle, FYI, if you wanted to, you could technically open a 529 for the unborn child if you wanted to.
I thought you needed a social security number, Mark.
You open it under your name, and when the child's born, you transfer it to the child.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Mark, you're very smart.
I didn't do that, but I know people that have.
I feel very happy about this. I really do. You're not moving.
It's a better idea for a goal. I like the 130 by 10. It just kind of get, because the whole thing I like is, I mean, I don't like gray area. I'd like to know, hey, it just helps to look at goals and say, where do we want to get to? So that was nice.
Is there anything else that we can do for you before we let you go?
My last question would be, I guess, if you think we should be doing a Roth 401k, or if you think I'm doing the right thing with traditional 401k at this point.
Well, he's in 32% now, right? That's his top bracket.
Yeah, you already have almost $1 million. You're saving a lot of money. I don't think you'll be in a lower tax bracket when you retire. That's just me. I would do it.
He's got 600 grand in the 401k, 570. And 200 in the Roth. There's going to be, so, you know, we're just worried about the minimum required distribution that will push you into a higher bracket, right? Because if you keep putting money away pre-tax, by the time you're in your 70s, you are then going to be forced to take that money out. And that could push you into a higher bracket. So if you want to split the difference, you can certainly do so. Especially, I'm sort of wondering, like, also, like, I wonder how, like, your earnings are going to be. I might do it now. I might do the Roth now while you can. Because, you know, look, you could end up in a higher bracket. You could end up in the 37% bracket, man. You could skip right over 35 and I'll see you at 37. And that's when you earn over 650 grand or so. You're not that far away if you have a couple of good years. So might as well do it now while you're in the 32 before you pop into 35 or 37.
That still wouldn't stop me. When you retire, you'd be happy.
I know. He's right. You're right, Mark. But it's at least something to consider, okay? Because I think the 32 is a real thing.
I've read a lot each way, and that's where, I mean, it makes me always wonder which is the right decision. So splitting it may make me feel more comfortable there.
All right, that's fine. So that's the story. I think we got you all set here, right?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Thank you guys very much for the information and the help. And I'll definitely follow up with you guys probably in a few years here. I'll let you know what those 529 accounts are at.
All right. I love to hear about it, especially, and let us know if you have a girl or not. Hopefully there's a little change here. If you are like Ryan and his wife and you're earning a lot of money and you need some direction, we'd love to help you. If you're not like them and you're not earning a lot of money, we'd also like to hear from you. It doesn't matter. Everybody's got financial needs. And if you want to help yourselves and maybe get an extra set of ears and eyes on your situation, go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, and tell us what's on your mind. You can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Check out our other show. It's called Eye on Money. Don't forget to leave us a rating and a review at Apple. All right. Lift someone up today. Grit, growth, grace. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.